Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and it's on, that can be found in the Purple Bibles on 1174. And we're going to read the whole chapter, Ephesians chapter 2, page 1174. Ephesians 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Morning, everybody. Very good to see you today. I did see some of you last week, but I was totally asleep, and so I remember none of it. So if we had a conversation in which I said something very strange, that's why. But it's very good to see you today. Back from Hong Kong, back to normality, back to some kind of routine, which is good. And it's really good to see you all today. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. Almighty God, I pray that you would bless us now as we look to hear your voice. Lord, I pray you'd speak to us. I pray that you would change us. I pray that you would show us just how great you are. I pray that you'd knit us together as a community in the gospel. Amen. So if you've got your Bibles with you, turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. That's going to be helpful. And what we're doing this morning is asking what sort of community we want to be in 2018. What sort of community are we? And what are we going to be in 2018? We all crave community. It's imprinted on our souls to long for a sense of belonging, a sense of being in, not out. And we try and find it in many ways. We might try and find it through social media. We might try and find it through social clubs, through friendship groups, through being part of a clique. We all want to be in. We don't want to be out. We hate to feel alienated, left out. It's a horrible, horrible feeling. Hands up if you've seen the film Castaway. It's quite old. All right, for the rest of you, I'm going to ruin it for you. Because in the film Castaway, you have the main character, Chuck. And this main character, Chuck, skips out on some quality family community time at Christmas in order to fly to Malaysia for work. And now as he does this, he's flying in a plane and it gets caught up in a violent storm. The plane crashes down into the Pacific Ocean and Chuck is washed ashore on an uninhabited desert island. He spends 4 whole years there, completely alone. And the hardest thing about it isn't the lack of food. It isn't the lack of water. No, the hardest thing for Chuck is the lack of community. It drives him insane. It drives him mad. He even finds a volleyball that gets washed ashore. He paints a face on it and calls it Wilson. And that's who he talks to. This lack of community drives him insane. Eventually, to ruin the story totally, he is rescued. He finds his way back to his family, and he's learnt the valuable lesson that community, specifically family, is far, far more valuable than work and money. Community. It matters. And that is what we're building here at Grove Hill. That's what we are already, but that is what we're building. We are grateful for what exists already. You know, we really enjoy the strong bonds of fellowship that we can enjoy week by week. We're really grateful to God for that. But we want it to grow. We want it to grow in depth of relationship. And we want it to grow in breadth in terms of numbers. More people coming to join this community here. We want our community to grow. Let me tell you a little story of church community growth. And perhaps it might inspire us. One day, a few years ago, this happened in London. A young man with a passion for his area started up meetings because he wanted to get people together. He started up a church, hired out a local church, a local school hall, and began meeting week by week. It started tiny, really, really small, but it started growing. It started growing. There was some opposition. The church was even featured in a local newspaper. They were making fun of what was going on there. They thought it was bizarre. They thought it was weird. But nevertheless, the community grew. People from all different backgrounds came and joined them there. And after a year, they had to move out of the school hall and buy their own premises because there were too many to fit in there. After 5 years, the church attendance was numbered in the hundreds. People from every single different background uniting under a common message, drawn by the sense of community. It's a really inspiring story, and perhaps it's something that we should seek to emulate here at Grove Hill. Actually, no, because that's the story of the first atheist church in London. The message is all about how they hate God, God doesn't exist, they sing pop songs. But nevertheless, it's a strange thing, I know. The reason for telling that story is to show that there are lots of different ways of building community. We want our community here to grow, but we want it to grow in the right way, and we want it to grow. We want to have a vision of community that is in line with God's vision of community. That example of the atheist church is a bit of an extreme example. I don't think we're likely to try and follow that example of uniting under a message of hating God. But there are lots of other ways that we could build community here at Grove Hill. We could focus on a specific age group. We could say we're just going to aim for young families with children. We could focus on people with a particular special interest. We could decide, this would be an odd decision, but we could decide that we want to be a biker church. There are biker churches that exist, believe it or not. We could unite around a particular personality type. We're just going to aim for the introverts. Let the extroverts go somewhere else. We can build a church community around lots and lots of different things, but it might grow, but it might not necessarily be in line with God's vision for community. So that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at God's vision for community found in Ephesians chapter 2. And then towards the end, I'm going to make reference to two specific ways in which we can grow as a gospel community here at Grove Hill. So, Ephesians chapter 2, and we're looking specifically at verses 11 through to the end of the chapter. In the first few verses, particularly 11 and 12, we see a people who are described as out. A people described as out, and that may come up on the screen in just a moment. There is a situation in the church in Ephesus where you have two groups of people who, under the normal circumstances, under the normal course of things, would never get along. They would never get along. You wouldn't find them eating together. You wouldn't find them socializing together. They just didn't mix. Jews and Gentiles. Jews and non-Jews. And yet here, in this area for potential conflict, here is where God decides to put forward his vision for what church community should be. When you think about these two groups, think the Six Nations have just started. Think of two groups that would never get on. Think of English and Welsh, or English and Scottish, or English and Irish, or English and French. Two groups that don't like each other at all. But here, they are brought together in God's vision of what community should be like. And God wants to remind particularly the Gentile, the non-Jewish Christians, of a time where they were not in. They were not part of this community. They were out. They're described as separate, foreigners, excluded, far away. They're far away from God, and they're far away from the community which God offers. And I want to pause here. Because it's important for all of us to remember and be reminded that at one time, all of us were in the same position. All of us, by nature, are not in. We're out. All of us born into this world are not born as part of God's perfect community. All of us, as we are born into this world, are separate from God. Foreigners, excluded, far away. That's how we're born. That's just the way things are. Now, what do I mean by that? That doesn't sound very nice. That doesn't sound very inclusive, does it? In the beginning, before God had created anything, God existed in perfect, loving community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The best relationship, the most loving relationship that there has ever been. And God created humanity to share in that perfect community, to join in that perfect relationship, that depth of love. That's what we humans are made for. Community at its best gives us affirmation. Community at its best, as we experience it, gives us fulfillment. It makes us feel loved. It makes us feel wanted. And that's what we were made for. God made us to join in this perfect loving relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But Adam and Eve, our first parents, said no, didn't they? They didn't want to be part of this loving relationship. And so ever since that day, every single one of us has continued to say no to God. Every single one of us has continued to reject his offer of loving community. Sure, we try and make our own imitations. We try and find our own little communities to replace what was lost. But ultimately, all of us fundamentally feel some sense of alienation, some sense of I'm missing out on being in, some longing to belong. And it's because of this purpose for which we were made. All of us, as we're born, are not in, but out. And that applies to us all, whether you were brought up in a Christian family, whether you have Christian parents, whether you attend the church, whether you read your Bible, whether you pray to God. By nature, this is not good news, you are out, not in. And the bad news doesn't stop there, because yes, we experience this alienation now. We experience this status as foreigners, excluded, out, not in. But after we die, it only gets worse. When we die without Christ, in the normal course of things, we experience final alienation, final separation, final alienation from God. And it's endless. And even the small pale reflections of community that we do enjoy in this world with family and friends, even those will be taken away as we experience being out forever. That's the bad news. But there's good news too. That's what the Ephesian Gentiles were being reminded of. They are out, and yet they have been brought in. They're out, and yet they've been brought in. But how has that happened? Verse 13. But now. Those but nows in the Bible are always good, aren't they? But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. God has reminded the non-Jewish believers of a time where once they were out. And yet, he also wants to remind them that though they were out, though they had rejected God's offer of community, God still wanted to reach out and draw them in. And yet, in order to bring someone who is out in, someone who was in had to go out to get them. Let me tell you a little story to illustrate this. This was a few years ago, and if you know anything, it often comes up in illustrations of mine. Mel's family is very loud. Very loud indeed. I love them dearly. And on one such occasion, where we all got together a few years ago, we were particularly loud. The conversation was buzzing all through the house, different rooms, different places, very loud games were going on, music blaring, dancing happening, very, very loud. And I just about managed to cope. A younger member of Mel's family is a little bit quieter, like myself, and he found it a little bit too much. And so he thought, you know, quite wisely in some senses, he just needed to escape for a moment. Just a moment of sanity in the middle of all this madness. And so what he did, he just slipped out when no one was watching and went out the front door. Now, it was nighttime. It was cold. It was dark. It was wet. He doesn't really know Cardiff at all, and he's only a teenager. And he decides that to get a bit of a breather, he's going to go for a walk just down the road. He does this. He decides to walk a little further, and he does. And before he knows it, he's actually walked quite far from the house and doesn't really know how to get back. He tries to find his way back, but actually ends up going in totally the opposite direction and is totally lost in the middle of Cardiff, this young teenager. Meantime, we're back at the house, totally oblivious. Which is possibly reflects badly on us. Thankfully, he's got his mobile phone on him, so he gives us a call. And he doesn't know where he is, though. All we know is that he's out there. He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know how to get back. And we've got to find him somehow. So what do we do? Do we just say, oh, well, he shouldn't have walked out, should he? Just leave him out there. Do we say, oh, he can find his own way back? No, of course not. He's out there on his own. We're in this party, having a great time. But we're going to go out, aren't we? We're going to go out, we're going to walk around the city, we're going to drive around, we're going to run around like mad people until we find this little cousin of Mel's. Now, thankfully, after half an hour, we did find him, miles away from where he was supposed to be, and we brought him from out to in. Phew, massive relief, lots of stress at the time, but it's good, it ended well. And why am I telling you that? It's for that reason I said at the start. In order to bring someone who was out, in. Someone who was in had to go out to get that person. And that is what is the gospel is all about. In these verses, we read of the way in which these Christians were brought back in. And time after time, it's the cross that is mentioned. It's the blood of Christ that is mentioned. Verse 13, how have they been brought near? They've been brought near by the blood of Christ. How have they been reconciled to God? Verse 16, it's through the cross. And this is what the cross is. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has enjoyed this perfect community with the Father and the Spirit throughout all of eternity, this best example of love and relationship there has ever been, there on the cross, Jesus was excluded. There on the cross, Jesus became the stranger. There on the cross, Jesus became the foreigner, far away from his Father. There on the cross, Jesus cried out, didn't he? My God, why have you forsaken me? That brilliant, perfect community of Father, Son, and Spirit in some mysterious way was broken up on the cross as Jesus received the rejection of his Father. He went from in to out. Broken community is painful, isn't it? It's painful when community falls apart. It might be when a friend moves away. Maybe it's when a boyfriend or a girlfriend dumps you. Maybe it's when there's a conflict in the family. Maybe it's when a loved one dies. It's painful when those relationships are broken. On the cross, that pain is what Jesus felt. Magnified to the greatest extent you could possibly ever imagine. As that perfect community was broken up. As he experienced the rejection of moving from in to out. But that is how he rescued us. He went from in to out so that we might go from out to in. You can see that verse up there. Verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. What did this sacrifice mean to these believers in Ephesus, these Gentile believers who once were out? Well, they were brought near. They were in. They were brought near to God, verse 16, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. And then verse 18 as well, for through him, Christ, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Remember what I said about that perfect relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? There it is, isn't it? For through him, Christ, We both have access to the Father by one Spirit. That is, those believers, whether Gentile or Jews, welcomed into that perfect community for which they were designed, brought back near to God. And they were brought near to one another as well. Verse 14 and 15. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. The thing that was stopping community existing, whether with God or with each other, was the law and was sin. And yet Christ on the cross got rid of that, took the punishment so that peace might reign, so that where once there was enmity between these two groups, they might become one. One, sharing in this common story, sharing this common gospel, united not by race, not by age, not by gender, not by social background, not by common interests. They may have had none of those things in common. United by the gospel. United by Christ. That is God's vision for community. That is God's vision for community here at Grove Hill. A group of people not united by any of those other things necessarily, but united by the gospel, sharing this one great story of salvation. It's a really beautiful thing. Just look how it's described, the words towards the end of this chapter. Fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household. Household is the place of the family, isn't it? If we're trusting in Christ, we are as in as it is possible to get. We're not just welcomed into the neighborhood, not just welcomed into the street, not just welcomed into the sort of outer areas of the property. No, we're welcomed right in there into the household, if I may say, right into the front living room of God's family. That is how in we are through the gospel. That is a beautiful, wonderful thing. That's what I want us to celebrate here at Grove Hill. If you're trusting in Jesus, you are part of this. And so let's celebrate this unity that we can enjoy. You know, it's so easy to build friendships, even within this community, around people who are of a similar age to us, people who have similar interests, etc., etc., etc. But we're a family. It doesn't matter if we have nothing in common at all, because nothing else in common at all, because we have this one thing that matters, this shared story, this shared gospel. And so let's invest in this. Let's press forward for depth of relationship. Let's enjoy what is our shared story. Let's speak to one another as if we really are family, because we are. Let's tell one another our encouragements in Christ, because he is the one who's united us. And let's look out for one another when we struggle, when we fall, because we are family. We are God's family. Now, three things, three practical applications for life here at Grove Hill. Firstly, if you have not yet trusted in Jesus, if you haven't yet said yes to Jesus, I want to encourage you to do so today. Maybe you're feeling a bit on the outside. Maybe you feel a bit left out. Maybe you feel like you just want to belong. Come in. come in and welcome. Welcome. God's arms are always open. If you trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, God's arms are open. Come to him today, and he will welcome you into this perfect community. That's the first thing. Second thing, I want to talk about membership in this community here at Grove Hill. Now, I know that lots of you here are members of God's family. You are members of the household of God. You are citizens with God's people. You're genuine born-again believers. You've been baptized. You love the Lord. You come regularly. You serve. And yet, for whatever reason, you're not yet committed as members to this church. Now, I don't just want to make you feel awkward. I don't want to make you feel alienated. Actually, it's the opposite. I want you to come in. I want you to come in. By all means, continue to come here. Continue to serve without becoming a member. But I just want to tell you that it's a really weird situation to be in. It's a really weird place to be. I've not been in a church where there are so many people who are regular, enthusiastic attenders that have not yet become members. I want to encourage you to sign up. I want to encourage you to commit. Here's two quick reasons why I think it's important. Firstly, it's because of the gospel. As we've seen there, God's love for us is shown in the gospel, and it's the model for how we should treat one another in God's family. And let me tell you something about God's love. It is enthusiastic. God's love is enthusiastic. It is the most enthusiastic love we can see. But that's not all it is. God's love is a committed love. It is a committed love. In the gospel, God has made a public promise of relationship. The Bible uses the word covenant. A public promise of relationship. And if God's love is the model for how we should love, then we too, as a community of God's covenant, a covenant community, should make that same public promise of relationship. That's what membership is, whether it's signed or whether it's a kind of verbal agreement with the church council and the elders. It's a covenant community. So I'd encourage you, make that public promise of relationship. Come and join us. We want you. We want you in. We love you. We want you. Second reason. The local church is to be a visible picture of the universal church. In the universal church, there is membership. You're either in or you're out. It's very obvious. We read it in that passage. Members of his household. There is membership. The local church is to be a visible picture of what is true of the universal church. And so, as there is a membership in the church universal, there should be a membership of the church local. It should be clear who is in and who is out. Church life's very difficult if you don't know who's in, who's out. So please, come in. If you've been baptized, if you're a Christian, if you've been around here for a decent length of time, come in. Speak to myself, speak to Martin, speak to one of the elders. Come and join as a member. And thirdly, and finally, I want to talk about service at Grove Hill. The best way to build relationships here with your fellow brothers and sisters as part of this community at Grove Hill is to serve alongside one another. That's how you build depth of relationship. You know, maybe you come along on a Sunday and you have the people you speak to, but you never really get below the surface. And you long for a deeper sense of relationship. You long for real, meaningful conversations. The way to do that is to serve alongside one another. That's the best way to make that happen. And we've been doing some thinking in church council about how we can encourage one another to serve alongside. And we think we've come up with a good solution, which I'm going to put to you now. I'm not asking you to sign up right now, but we're going to have an opportunity for you to do that at a later date in a couple of weeks' time. As things stand, the way church life is organized is you have the elders, you have church council, and then you have all the individuals that do lots of individual jobs. Now, the individuals, they're the people that actually know how the church is run. They're the people who actually have the expertise. They're the people that know what to do. They're the people that know what needs to be done. But as things stand, all those decisions don't get made by those individual people. They get sent back up to church council, and church council can't cope because there's so many decisions that need to be made, and we don't have the expertise in all the necessary areas. So what we've done is we are thinking of moving towards a structure where we have teams of people with specific responsibility for specific areas of church life. You can see in front of you, there's a sheet of paper, and it gives a list of some of the teams that we want to start up over the next few months. You can see some of them there. Please do read through them. There's the properties team, there's the hospitality team, the media and publicity team, finance team, youth and children's team, world missions team, music team. And all of these areas are really a great opportunity, whether you're already serving in one of those areas or whether you're not at the moment, to come alongside other believers and work together to pray over areas of church life, to build one another up, to serve alongside. It's a wonderful example of what it is to be a gospel community, working together, united by our vision of glorifying God and transforming lives by the gospel. So I want you to have a look at that sheet of paper, take it home with you, and think about what area of church life you might be able to contribute to. Don't sign up to all of them. You can't possibly do that. Sign up to one or two. And in a few weeks' time, we'll go into that in a bit more depth. But let me say this. All these areas, they're quite practical. The most important way that we can build community here at Grove Hill, and I promise you this is the final thing I'm going to say, is the normal stuff, the day-to-day stuff. It's not the jobs that get loads of praise, loads of acclaim standing at the front. It's the conversations. It's the picking up the phone and checking if someone's okay. It's the asking the person sitting next to you if there's anything you can pray for. These are the ways in which real community is built. These are the ways in which the gospel is seen as people from backgrounds as far away as possible are brought together, sharing in a common story, united by this gospel, sharing in the love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray. If there's anything that I've mentioned there that you'd like to speak to me about, then please do. I'm going to pray, then we're going to sing. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for the perfect community which you have invited us to be a part of. Lord, I thank you for the gospel. I thank you for this great sacrifice which the Lord Jesus made. I thank you that he was rejected so that we might be accepted, that he went out so that we might be brought in. Father God, I pray that you would help us as we seek to build community united around the gospel here at Grove Hill. I pray that our relationships would deepen and that our relationships would broaden in who we reach. Father, I pray that many people in this neighborhood, people who are feeling lonely, people who are feeling rejected, people who are feeling alienated on their own, would be brought in, welcomed into your perfect vision for community. Lord, we know we're a work in progress here, but we're so thankful that it's you that is doing the work. Lord, I pray that you'd help us and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.